Morning, church.
Good morning, good morning. God is good. All right, now y'all are figuring this out. You respond, there you go. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. And today we want to think about that as we worship together and by studying God's word and letting him speak into our lives as we think about a new commandment. John chapter 13, if you want to go ahead and be turning over there while we warm up with a memory or two from this week. A few of our folks, good times, family times. Wake up, you may be up here. All right. Now that's a cute one, Chuck Terry. You know, you'll have to, cuddles, all right, sweetness, okay. Now, honor to whom honor is due. Congratulations. That's just one is a merit finalist, the other is not. But but he is a highly decorated Eagle Scout. And there is such a tremendous, that's a phenomenal honor. So proud of both these guys. We had a little wedding this week, and congratulations to the Qual family, and so excited about that. And Grammy Reese, if you hadn't seen this baby, oh my goodness, it is adorable. She says it's the most beautiful baby she's ever seen. We're taking votes. I think it's definitely in my top three or four. Just fun times, I know, good times. And then I want to just kudos Sid for taking your sister-in-law out to eat. That was phenomenal. I've never seen such a smile in front. Well, who are we kidding? We all smile like that in front of a plate of crab legs. And then sometimes you just get made up and you do some fun things. And anybody recognize that one? And I loved the thing at school the other night when they were giving out fake cast. I saw and I was like, oh no, she's broken something. Not so fast. And then these guys, yeah, they're smiling now. You know, they got another win after that rough one the week before. But let's see here. Now, I guess the last three or four years, has it been all 4 years? They've flown up to see. That's just such a cool thing. Clay's finishing up his senior year there in Chicago, and Larry is taking a little crew up to see him and just kind of support and love on him. I love that kind of encouragement that happens in our family. And really, I think that's what love is about. You know, in John chapter 13, we kind of highlighted this last week as we were thinking about the work of our deacons. Because I asked you to think about what it looked like when you served other folks. And we looked at the first part of this somewhat as seeing the heart of Jesus serving others, serving those, taking a job that no one else would take at the beginning of this chapter where he washes his disciples' feet. But it's at the end of that text where we find Jesus speaking these words to those same men. He has just highlighted the fact that he's going to be betrayed. He's just seen Judas walk out the door. And there's a whole neat phrase there when it says at the end of that, Judas immediately went out and it was night. I don't think that was an accidental phrase there, but I just wanted to kind of touch that it was night, that it was the darkness, the moment in which not just a period on a clock when the sun goes down, but the spiritual darkness that was happening in Judas's heart as he goes out to carry out the betrayal of Jesus. Beginning verse 31, and when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, Yet a little while I'm with you. You will seek me just as I said to the Jews. So now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This morning, I want us to continue the thought of what does it look like to be a disciple. We've looked at characteristics and things that Jesus has said throughout the Gospel of Matthew, throughout the Gospel of Luke, and now we are looking at John's point of view and things that John highlights about Jesus and what it means to be a disciple. And in this text specifically, he says this, by this all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. To me, that's an interesting thing, that there are a lot of things Jesus could have highlighted and brought to the table, but he said, the one thing that's going to differentiate you from the rest of the world, that's going to cause them to take note of you, it's not just the things that you believe. It's not just the practices that you have on a Sunday. It's the way that you love people that will draw them to a deeper learning of the teachings of Jesus, of the ways of Jesus, of the heart of Jesus. But they will never see that until they first have seen the love of Jesus. Now, I've asked some guys to do something for me, and they're going to pass out some cards. I hope we've got enough. I think we may be on the borderline. So if you're in a couple setting, you may want to just take one. But they're going to pass out these cards. There's nothing on this card, and so just hang on to it. I hope you've got something to write with. If you don't, you just tell Doug, and he'll bring you a pen in just a little bit. I'm going to keep talking while they're doing this, and I'll tell you what's going on in just a little bit. So, Chuck, why does Jesus say this is a new commandment? Right? Here we are hours before Jesus going to the cross. We're familiar with the commandment, right? Hasn't Jesus already said, when they said, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, you should love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. He reinforces what was taught. And he goes, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus gives this greatest commandment. So we've heard this before, Jesus, in your teaching. Not only have we heard it before in your teaching, we've also heard it in the old law. If you go back and you look at Leviticus and you find the 19th chapter, this chapter where it talks about the holiness of Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord spoke to Moses and he gave this command, these commands to the congregation of Israel. If you look down in verse 17 and following, you're going to find this statement. Really, let us back up to 15 because I think they're all kind of related to the great culmination in verse 18. When he says, you shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. And then he says, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around and slander among people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So Jesus, you're saying a new commandment I'm giving you. And what I'm hearing is, Jesus, this command has kind of, in some ways, been out there already. So what's the deal? The deal is this. It's not the what. What is it? We're to love our neighbors, right? That's the what. Love your neighbor. Why is this a new commandment, Lord? It's because he gives us a different how. Think about it. Initially, it was just love your neighbor. In the giving of the greatest command, he's going to say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a hard one for some people. We're still trying to figure and work through some of that mental conversation that Jacob alluded to, that mental toughness or that mental journey that we're on, and loving ourselves is not such an easy thing. But Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Go back and look at it again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You see, that's why this one's new. That's why this commandment's different, because it's not a standard based upon the law. It's not even a standard that you base upon how you personally feel about yourself and what you think loving others ought to look like. This is new because it takes it to the highest level, in which Jesus says, if you want to know how to love each other, look at the way I loved you. Watch my love for others and love one another like I loved you. That's why this is the new commandment. That's why this one is different. Just as I have loved you. I want you to think some, even as we think about Jesus' love, and specifically kind of in this chapter, one of the things that you see about love is this. Love serves. Love's willing to take a knee in service, to kneel, to humble, to be willing to take care of the things that others are not willing to take care of. We alluded to that at the beginning of this chapter when Jesus is washing those feet. He served. When Jesus served the needs of the hungry that he saw around them, Jesus was loving them. When Jesus was willing to come to this earth in and of itself as a service, love serves. But not only does love serve, love also supports. I don't know, sometimes the things that people need are not just help moving some stuff. Or we've got great friends that have come, Jacob and the Mosleys are back in town, and they came because they were here to serve and help friends move out of a house. How cool is that? That's love. Why do you do that? Because you love them. But everything that we need emotionally in a relationship and in our lives is not always just something to be done. Sometimes it's something to be heard or listened to. Sometimes the love that we give is not in an action, it's more in the action of listening and being willing to hear what it is that this person is saying. And not only to hear it, but to empathize and to feel and to allow their pain to become your pain, and then for you to support the hurt that they are feeling and enduring at this moment. It's interesting to me that as Jesus in this next chapter is going to say, I'm leaving you and I will no longer be with you here on this earth. He's talked about his death. Peter's pushed back on it. And you know, you remember the conversation as it goes. And he says, you know, Lord, this is not going to happen. And he says, get behind me, Satan. He's saying, this is Peter, you're not talking, you're not understanding the mission right now. But he goes on to say, I don't want you to be troubled. In chapter 14, as he's saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he also follows that up with, I'm not going to leave you alone. Because of Jesus' love, God leaves with us His Holy Spirit. Look in verse 15 of chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. And you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world will not see me, and will see me no more, and you will see me because I live, you also will live. He goes on to talk about this idea of the Father leaving us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring into your remembrance the things I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Jesus is saying, there are some moments, there are some things that are troubling in our lives, and we need someone to be with us and to listen. And the word paraclete, that word for the Holy Spirit, is to be one that walks alongside, to be a comforter, to be a counselor. Those words are actually used, helper, some translates will call it, because we need that support. Love supports. Jesus, in modeling that for us, leaves us the Holy Spirit, who would walk with us. And then upon Acts 2 and verse 38, when the scripture says a person is obedient to the gospel and they are united with Christ, it says you're baptized for the forgiveness of sins, but you also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at that moment. What a beautiful thing. He will be in you to support you. Love serves and love supports. But not only that, love also sacrifices. Maybe you've seen the mom that comes in and she looks a little frazzled. I know none of you mothers have ever felt a little frazzled. But the reality is, why do you go there? It's because of love. It's because you haven't slept any the night before, because your child was up and she was sick and she was throwing up, and you stayed up with her. You sacrificed your sleep out of love for your child. There are other things that you sacrifice. You know, it's been a long time since I bought a new car. But my kids drive nice cars that are safe, that I don't really worry about them breaking down. Now, Natalie and I, we're close around town. I'm going to come pick you up, honey. It's okay. But they're going to, why? Because we sacrifice, because it's a love thing. What about it? What can you think of some others where you've sacrificed? I can think about someone who has been a caregiver to a spouse, and they've invested their life into the care of one that can't care for themselves. You see, love sacrifices the things that you might want to do or you might prefer to do because you know this is what this other person needs, and so I'm going to be willing to sacrifice for that person. I kind of debated about whether or not to tell this story, so it's just one of those things. I heard a story about a guy was coming out of this grocery store, saw this family. They were on the way back from the mountains, and the family's van had broken down on the way home. And they had their stuff packed to the gills. You know how it is when you come back from Gatlinburg, right? You've been there. You got your, you know, all your treats, your beef jerky, your honey, whatever it is that your Gatlinburg fix is, and you're on the way back, and it was a grandmom and a granddad. It was a mom and husband and wife, and it was the husband and wife's four-year-old and two-year-old. They were standing out in this grocery store parking lot because earlier they had stopped to get a fill up a tank of gas on their last leg home. They were headed to Selmer, Tennessee. And as they pulled in, their lights started blinking and this and that and the other, and their alternator went out. And this gentleman, he stopped and he said, "Hey, what's going on? Is everything okay?" And, "Oh, this is what it is. And we're just waiting on my sister to get here." It's like 9 o'clock at night. Like, where's she coming from? Selmer, he said. This guy was like, "No way, you're not waiting on him. Look, I've got a vehicle. Why don't I go get my vehicle and you just take it, load your stuff in it, and just use it as long as you need. Bring it back when you get finished." You see, that's sacrifice. It's something that they needed that you had, that you could help with. And this family, they took off in the guy's car and they brought it back, and everybody's, can't believe, why would you do that? I don't even know you. I've never seen you before. That's just what love does. Love is seen in its greatest sacrifice in when Christ left heaven for us. The Son, the King, stepped down from heaven's throne to become one of us. To go from a painless, sinless, hurtless existence into a world where sin and pain and hurt, and He did it for us. It was because of love. He sacrificed. Love serves, love supports, love sacrifice. Peter talks about this idea of loving one another. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. All right, think about obedience to the truth. Well, how is a person's soul purified? Well, in the eyes of God, it's when we do the thing that God has said. Well, I'm not purifying myself. The blood of Christ purifies me, but it purifies me on the conditions which the Lord has laid out. When I'm immersed into Jesus, I come in contact with that blood. My soul is purified because I obeyed the truth. He says, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Paul wrote it in Romans. He said this, let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. What law? The law that Jesus gave us, that perfect command. Are you fulfilling every Old Testament law? No. He's saying you fulfilled it in keeping the law of love. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Who taught them to love each other? Who we've been talking about? Jesus did, right? He says, God's taught you that. The Lord has taught you through Jesus, you one and the same, you have been taught by God to love each other. And then finally in verse 10 of Galatians 6, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. John talks about it over and over, and we've alluded to a few of those, but I just wanted to highlight these other two. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my command, love each other. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 23, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love as He commanded us to love. I know you're probably wondering, what's the deal with this card? And I'll tell you in just a little bit. But when I think about loving one another, I think about the song we used to sing. Y'all remember this little camp song? Yes? No? Maybe? No? It says, we are one in the Spirit. Y'all, let's just sing it while Larry's out of the room. He'll like, what happened? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work hand in hand. We will work with each other. We will work hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in this land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And maybe you've heard that phrase before, because it came out of the very mouth of Jesus. The new command I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. They'll know you are Christians by your love one for another. Maybe you are familiar with the phrase, and in the restoration movement, this idea that in essential things, things that the Bible speaks to, we look for unity. in things that are matters of opinion and non-essentials, liberty or freedom, permission, you do what you do. But in all things, love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. So I've given you maybe stop me, Larry. It was several years ago, I was at a camp, and a gentleman, he's actually one of the directors of a program at Harding now, his name is Dr. Andrew Baker. If you ever get over there, if that's where you go to school, take on Andrew for a class. Phenomenal man. But we were at a camp with about 900 kids, the best that I recall, and we were spread out in groups of about 12 around the room. And he said, I want to ask you to do something on this card. And I want to ask you to do it. And it's not going to be kind of exactly the same, but I want to challenge us because I think it will amaze you. So he said, I want you to write on this card a need that you have. Maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's something you can't do for yourself that you need help with. Maybe it's one of our widows who's got lights that are out on the front of her house. She doesn't need to be up on the ladder. You don't need to be up on the ladder, whoever you are, I'm talking to you. And some of you, your husbands, you don't need to be up on the ladder, Alan. Okay, just call somebody. But it's something you can't do for yourself. Write that down. And maybe it's not a thing, an action or something like, maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's, hey, look, I've been struggling with this. Maybe I've been struggling with this addiction. Maybe I've been struggling with this situation. Maybe I've wanted to do this or go out on this opportunity, but it's just not working out. Maybe my business is going through some trouble and I don't really know how to approach it and where to go from here. Whatever it is, I'm asking you to write two things on your card. One is that need. You don't have to put your name on it because I don't necessarily want it to have your name. But I do want you on the back to put your number. And what I want to do with these cards is I want us to put them up. And when the time is right, see what I did there? I want you to come and I want you to take a look at the cards and to read across the cards and to look and to say, hey, that's something I can do. That's a resource that I have. His need is something that I have that I can address. And so I pull that card off the wall and I've got the number. Then I just shoot him a text, whoever it is. I don't even know them. It's not about that. It's about we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and what can this person do for you? What is there that is broken down in your life in the middle of a grocery store parking lot that another one of us can ride up alongside and say, here, take my van. Here, you can use this for a while. It may be an emotional thing, it may be a spiritual thing, it may be a physical thing, but one of the things that was amazing to me that afternoon or that evening with Dr. Baker from Harding was as those cards passed around these circles, Logan, you were there, I believe, and we passed those cards around the circles and people just kept the one that they could do something about. And then the ones that didn't get taken got passed to another circle and they got passed to another circle and they got passed to another circle. And by the end of the night, there were like three or four cards that were still left from the 800. That in the room, these 800 kids had taken care of 99.75% of the needs that these other kids had. And I don't think it's any different here in the church. As a matter of fact, I'm not so sure that that's not what the church modeled for us in Acts chapter 2, Jerry. When we see that that's what the early disciples did. They took care of each other. They didn't hold on privately to, oh, I don't want anybody to know that I've got this need or I've got this struggle or I've got this. No, they were willing to share it and to put it out there. And the next thing you know, we just taped it to the wall and then took care of one another. And people go, wow, how did that get taken care of? Man, the church is a great gift. God's people are a blessing to my life. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, what a blessing. I just wonder, as you reflect, even as we sing this morning, maybe there's a public need or something that you need to share and to pray about, but spiritual need, a righting with God. Maybe you in your life are considering the fact that, hey, look, I've never been united with Christ. I'm walking in my life alone. But like if my life ended right now, I would be separated from God for all eternity because I'm not in Christ. There's no better time than today because we're not promised tomorrow. And the love that Jesus showed for us, the love that He served us with, that He supports us with, that He sacrificed Himself for us for, man, it's too wonderful not to embrace. But I do. I want you to reflect and to think and to write down on the card something that you've got going on. Your name is not important. I want you to put your need and your number. And we'll stick those on the wall. And I want to challenge the rest of us. Don't take yours because it's not something you can do for yourself, remember? You look and you take and you see what you can help with. And you be a blessing to the rest of the folks in this body. This morning, if we can be a blessing to you in any way, we want to do that. We're going to sing to encourage you. And I pray that today has been an encouragement for us to love one another. There'll be elders on the back wall. If you have something privately you'd like to pray for, we want to encourage you to go talk to them. If there's something of a public nature, we want to invite you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.